kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. Cole, how are you doing today?
I'm suffering from deja vu.
Yeah, it's like we just did this, but my mic was muted, so we're doing it all over again.
Yeah, I mean, I swear I've had this conversation before.
Well, not this exact conversation, but a similar conversation.
Well, yeah, it's going to be completely different because I've already moved on in my head and forgot what we talked about while you were muted. So we're starting over from scratch.
How's your week been?
My week's been pretty good. I've played all kinds of spooky games.
Spooky games?
Yeah, I've tried not to fear Pete and failed. That's going to make for some fun stories later.
Ooh. Is it something that you're reviewing?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, so exciting.
Oh, man.
How was your week, though?
My week was pretty good. We got a liquidation store in the area, and today I went, and it was like Goody Central today, where I got a 30-pack of Skittles and Starburst, like full-size bags and full-size rolls of Starburst, $8.50.
Hey, Joe, you want to hear an unpopular opinion, and you want to get people to hate the show and, like, rage tweet us?
Sure.
The yellow Starburst are the best.
Yeah, they're okay.
No, they're the best.
I'm a strawberry fan.
The rest of them can fuck off. I only want the yellow ones.
But this one comes with tropical as well, and I think there's banana in there, and if there is, nothing beats banana.
Banana is good. Banana is, in all fairness, also yeller, so it's fine.
Yeller?
Yep.
Old yeller?
Yep.
Gonna not old put yeller. It down.
We ain't taking it out back, but... You know, I don't think I've ever actually watched Old Yeller. Side note, I'm going off on a tangent. We're supposed to be speedrunning today's show.
Yeah, I'm going to see if we could get this one under an hour. We're going to try.
We're going to try.
We're going to see what happens.
I should have taken some steroids so I talk faster.
It'd be neat to set a record for the shortest show, but I don't think we could do that because I think the shortest one is only 42 minutes. Something like that.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, we'll never beat that.
No, probably not. I talk too much. I'm sorry. Carry on.
Anyway, let's dive into the news of the week. Sound good?
Okay, news.
News. Let's see. There were three games added to the Xbox backward compatibility lineup this week with Crysis, Crysis 2, and Crysis 3. So the entire series, one shot, bang, done.
That's pretty impressive to just roll out all of them at once.
It's exciting, too.
Do you like Crysis? Fucking here's them all. I'm not mad about it. I've never played a Crysis game, though, so I don't know jack shit about it beyond, hey, now it's backward compatible.
I was excited because I got to come home, turn on my system, and all three of them were waiting in my ready to install.
You had them already. I am not even a little surprised.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. I've gotten to the point where when new games are announced, I'll immediately like jump on Amazon or eBay and just order them.
Because if you didn't have it, it's already fucking rare.
Yeah. Like Ruse. I still don't have that one.
I actually had that at one point, but I don't think I still had it. I think I had it on disc and I traded it in.
No!
Yeah. When I was dumb and traded shit in for like 50 cents a game.
Yeah, boy.
I think I might have only paid like $3 for Ruse when I had it.
Oh, damn. I don't think that's an easy one to find anymore.
Probably not. I had a friend that I played a lot of Halo Wars with, and Ruse was his all-time favorite strategy game. Like, he always begged us to get it, and then I did finally break down and get it, but then he went away to college and never played it with me.
Oh, God.
And that's the thing that happened.
Oh, boy. That's not all with backward compatibility, though. Did you see four games were added to the Xbox One X enhanced list today?
Indeed, and two of them are pretty effing awesome. I'm not sure about the other two. I don't remember what they were because I was focused on the first two.
All four of them are pretty effing awesome because it's Portal, Still Alive,
okay.
Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead 2, and The Orange Box.
Ah, now see, I was focused on Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2. I've always wanted to play Portal, but I never have.
Well, now you could either pick up Portal or The Orange Box and play it and enjoy. You don't have an X, so you won't get the enhancements, but...
Nah, still. That face. Why you gotta throw me under the bus like that for, though?
I think you could still get the enhanced textures.
Maybe? I don't know. Because
you have an S.
Oh, do you have to download them separately? Do you, like, go in and say, yes, download this, or no, don't?
I think it's in your settings. There's an option that you could check that you would download any kind of X enhancements.
Hmm.
But, of course, that'll take up extra space.
Yeah, and it's probably just limited to whatever the S can push it to.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But then extra textures will look pretty.
Yeah, I'm going to go explore after we do this.
Then again, you should have an external hard drive at this point the way it is.
I should, but I don't.
Well, you should.
I had one at one point, and I killed it.
Congrats.
I killed it super dead. Studa had sent me one for my birthday. And it got to the point where, like, it was making my Xbox randomly power cycle.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, because I can hook up to the computer and I reformatted it to work with the computer and it's fine, but if I plug it into an Xbox, it just shits the bed.
Weird.
Yeah, when you're going to kill one, you're going to do it right or don't do it at all.
I think external hard drives are going to be really popular in the next week or two.
I imagine so.
Because some more news, Red Dead Redemption install requirements have been unveiled, and it is definitely time for people to invest in an external hard drive if they are getting this game. On the PS4, the game clocks in at a whopping 99 gig.
Is that big for, like, PlayStation standards? Like, do they have other games in that area?
I don't think so.
I was going to say, on Xbox, we have, you know, like, the Master Chief Collection before the most recent update that condensed it some was, like, 100 gig. And so we were all on Xbox just like, 100 gig, whatever.
Well, that's still an outlier. It's not like you routinely get games that are that big.
We get goddamn close. When Quantum Break is like 70-something.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't see it and just like absolutely panic. You're like, well, that sucks. That's huge. Well, Carry on.
I'm sure a lot of people who are picking up Red Dead might not have an external, and then on the Xbox One, it requires an even whoppinger 107 gig of space.
Oh.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was 82.
I think the original, the listing on the store page said like 88.5, but Rockstar confirmed it's 107.
They gotta have plenty of gigabytes for the dynamic testicles. Them nuts. They take up gigs, man.
The funny thing is, the rumors show a Japanese PS4 case for the game, and on the back, it lists it as a 2-disc game.
I have heard that it takes up 2 Blu-ray discs.
Which, I think that's new. I don't think we've had a legit 2-disc game on consoles this generation.
Not this gen. Not that I can think of.
Breaking ground.
Yeah. Overachieving is a little more like it.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about the other drama with Rockstar, though?
I didn't have it written down because I didn't really read it that much, but there were...
Oh, I have lots of it written down.
Well, go ahead. Go for it.
So there was a press release where one of the, I believe he's a co-founder. Yeah. Dan Houser, was bragging about how everybody was working 100-hour work weeks to push this game out in time. And so then there was some drama over whether or not, it's reasonable to expect developers to put in that kind of time for a game just to meet a deadline. 100 hours is a week is pretty bullshit.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But didn't people come out like they're no longer under an NDA and they came out and said that they didn't work 100-hour weeks?
Some people have said they did not. Some people have said that, you know, Rockstar was absolutely one of the worst places they've ever had to work, and because they did push them like that. So it seems to be back and forth. The co-founder himself issued another statement where to Kotaku, and he was like, well, that was just the team of four writers who were working like that.
Mm.
And then he tried to throw out that, you know, across the whole company, we have some senior people who work very hard purely because they are passionate about a project or their particular work, and we believe that passion shows in the games we release. So in a way, he's kind of like, yeah, people work like that, but he's also trying to say it's their choice. I don't think I've ever known a company to be like, yeah, it's your choice to work 100 hours a week or not, though. It tends to be a case of get that shit done. So,
all about them overtime bonuses, though.
Yeah, I don't know that people are particularly working 100 hours a week on dynamic horse nuts just for...
You're just focused on the horse nuts, aren't you?
Focused on it because it's so excessive, you know? And then, I don't know, I guess because they did brag about, 100-hour work weeks, and you're like, yeah, for this? Let people go home.
Horse nuts.
You know, there were bigger issues that you could squash out than weather affecting nuts. Not even people nuts, horse nuts. Yeah, you know how much time? Like, there's got to be an achievement in the game for watching the horse's nuts change with the weather.
Oh, God.
If there's not, then it was off or not.
Just zoom in on them when the snow hits and you just zoop.
Isn't it all take place in the desert? Is there snow?
I'm sure at night it gets Red cold.
Dead. I haven't played a Red Dead game, so I don't know. I have to ask the hard-hitting questions.
Nah, I don't know. It still makes you wonder if the game is going to ship on two discs or not.
I fully expect it to be on two Blu-rays.
Someone posted a picture of the steelbook that comes with the Ultimate Edition at GameStop, and it showed two disc holders, so...
Yeah.
Looks like it might be legit.
I would be very surprised if a game of that size does not ship on two discs.
Yeah. I'm sure people would be really pissed if they had they put in the disc, and it's like, there's still a 60-gig update. Fuck you.
Better be some good horse nuts is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of updates, Rocket League is getting its own Xbox One X enhanced update in December and will play 4K 60 frames per second with HDR. So that should look pretty damn pretty.
Yeah. Rocket League is already fucking gorgeous anyway.
Now it's going to be even more gorgeouser at a higher resolution.
I don't know how to handle it. I didn't get a chance to look that up, but is that just going to be on the X that it hits that 60 frames, or is that universal?
No clue.
I don't know either.
I figured you would know, if anyone.
Right? You'd think it being one of my favorite games. I saw it and I was like, and then I carried on and forgot all about it. I do have a mild complaint about Rocket League, though.
What?
Their Haunted Hollows update released recently, and you don't play Rocket League much, but during holidays, they have these events where you can earn some kind of, like, holiday-specific currency that you can trade in for stuff to make your car look pretty or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done a couple of them.
Yeah, so usually for Halloween, they do the Haunted Hollows, and it's candy corn that you earn.
Mm-hmm.
You used to be able to trade this currency in to get decryptors. And decryptors are like the keys in that they let you open loot boxes, but the decryptors are free. So instead of paying for the keys, they're like, hi, you can have a decryptor. And the only snafu with it is that you can't trade any items that you open with a decryptor. Mm-hmm. But you can use it on any box. So if you've got stacks and stacks of boxes that you haven't opened because you're a poor ass, here's your chance to try to get some of that shit. With Haunted Hollows this year, though, they took away the decryptors. You cannot use your currency to buy decryptors anymore. You can still get some special items because you can buy 5 golden pumpkins.
And what are golden pumpkins?
Golden pumpkins, they did the same thing during Easter, where they had golden eggs instead of golden pumpkins. But basically, it's like its own loot crate, and it has several items in it, and you get to open it for free. There goes my cat stepping on stuff.
Nice. Yeah, I just saw those messages pop up, along with Latino Heat's 100 biddies, which I'm going to assume is due entirely to horse testicle discussion.
I should talk about horse nuts more often.
We should.
But you can open the golden pumpkins, and it costs 150 of the candy corns. But you no longer have the option to get decryptors. You can get decryptors with the Rocket Pass.
Yeah.
And you can get a few of them for free with the free version of the Rocket Pass, not paying for it. But if you were hoping to unlock boxes with just your candy corn,
you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And it's disappointing to see them take something like that away, because the decryptors have been a part of the events. That's one of the allures of the events. Is, oh, I can finally try to open the boxes that I've had stacked up. And now it's like, nah, good luck here. Take this. You know,
you can open more Rocket League.
You do. You can open 5 of the pumpkins, but you have no way of knowing. Like, you could open all 5 and get 5 of the exact same item. And you can't do shit about it because you can't trade them in. So you're SOL. You're stuck. Yay. You can't trade them with your friends. You can't trade them in for other items, because you have to trade in items from the same box. If you're trying to trade up, you're just stuck.
Damn.
Yeah, that's shitty. Fix it. That's all I'm saying. Carry on.
Come on, Psyonix.
Next
bit of news, Nintendo is releasing a Diablo 3 themed Nintendo Switch bundle to coincide with the release of Diablo 3 Eternal Collection on November 2nd. It's retailing for $359.99 exclusively at GameStop, whoop-de-doo. It includes a Diablo 3 themed Switch and console dock, a Diablo 3 styled carrying case, and the full game download for Diablo 3.
I feel like this is expensive.
Well, the game is $60 and a Switch itself is $300, so you're getting a free carrying case pretty much.
Ugh. What? It's expensive.
Video game consoles are expensive, believe it or not.
I know it, but I don't know. I don't understand why the Switch is as expensive as it is.
Because there's a lot of horsepower in a tiny-ass little system?
That's not as impressive as it used to be.
Okay, then it's that expensive because it's Nintendo.
You know, it's true. But just in the age of iPads and Androids and Samsung devices and stuff, I just look at a Switch and I'm like, I don't know why you're that price.
Okay, and how much is an iPad?
Too expensive for its own good. It shouldn't be that price either.
How much is a Surface Pro?
No, a Surface Pro doesn't count because it's equivalent to like a legit laptop PC.
It's still a portable device.
The entry level ones. Well, the Surface Go, I think, is $399.
So it's still more expensive than a Switch.
No, didn't you just say it's $399 for a Switch?
$359.
Does a Switch come with a pen and a keyboard and everything?
And neither does the Switch Pro or the Surface Pro. All that shit sold separately.
Isn't there one that comes with it all?
I don't know if it is. It's probably like $1,000.
Oh. I don't know. All that shit's out of my budget. You know how much I paid for my last tablet? $50.
Jesus. Well, I guess you get what you pay for. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, last bit of news I have is Game Pass news. A new game was added this week with Sinner, Sacrifice for Redemption. Brand new release launched directly to Game Pass, which I love seeing that happen.
That is so cool when that happens. And I didn't hear enough about it, so I haven't checked it out yet.
It's like a Dark Souls style boss battler, so boss rush.
Huh.
I haven't played it yet.
I'd probably try it. I'd probably get wrecked at it, and I'd probably rage uninstall it, but I'd try it.
I wonder if Shiz is going to play it and watch him rage quit.
Probably not. He's been raging at everything. Even Shocker. Forza has caught his wrath.
Shocker that Shiz is raging at something.
I know.
I've been watching that guy rage for, 3 years now? Nonstop. Is there a game that he actually 100% likes and hasn't raged at?
I was going to say Rivals of Ether, but I think he even raged about the grind on it a little bit.
Probably.
And lag. When he plays online, he rages about the lag.
But Sinner's not the only thing hitting Game Pass. There is apparently going to be a handful of games added for Halloween, where someone on Reddit, a Reddit user, noticed four extra games showing up in his Game Pass ready to install, which people think is going to be part of this Halloween update. And they all really seem to fit the mood, with Dead Island Riptide, Hello Neighbor, Observer, and Outlast all showing up.
I would expect those games to be in Game Pass.
Observer, especially for Halloween.
Yeah. Observer makes sense because they buddied up with the developers and had Layers of Fear be games with gold. Wasn't Layers of Fear in Game Pass too for a little while?
It might have been.
But
so many games in Game Pass. I can't keep track of them all.
There's a lot. So that's not particularly surprising. Dead Island Riptide, I'm a little more surprised by.
Well,
I don't
know
why. I don't know. It's just one of those that I heard. It was, pleasantly surprised.
The original's already in Game Pass.
Is it?
Yeah.
There's too many games, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
What was the other one?
Outlast.
Okay, that's been Games with Gold before, so that makes sense.
What are you breaking?
Surprised. I dropped my pencil.
Proud of you. That was a big thunk for a pencil.
It's an ink pen.
Yeah. And then it's not a pencil. Jesus, get your story straight.
Pen, pencil, it's a thing it's a writing device. You just wanted me to pronounce something funny. That's what that was.
Hey, no one made you say device.
It's a writing device.
Anyway, that is all the news I have. Anything else you got?
No, I'm good.
Speedrun continue?
Speedrun, next.
All right, jump into the reviews. First game to talk about tonight is called Space Hulk Tactics, developed by Cyanide Studio, published by Focus Home Interactive, released October 9th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $39.99. Space Hulk Tactics is a faithful adaptation of the board game Space Hulk, set in the Warhammer 40K universe, bringing a unique twist to the cult classic formula. Engage in bloody battles either as a squad of Terminator Space Marines or the deadly alien Gene Stealers. Cole, tell us about Space Hulk Tactics.
First off, the Warhammer 40K franchise is just fucking insane.
It is.
It's just like the 74th game from this franchise that we've reviewed. And I played through it, and I didn't even realize it was a Warhammer game until I went to explore something else about it. I was looking up other shit about the developer, and I was like, this is just the franchise that never ends. There's always another one.
There's a lot of Warhammer games.
There are. This is a turn-based strategy game. We need more of these on Xbox. So I'm not mad just from the genre alone. I'm like, I'm okay with this. You have the choice of two different campaigns. You can play as either the Blood Angels, who are your Space Marines, Terminators, or you can play as the Alien Gene Stealers. They actually have their own campaign separate from just being the bad guys. You start a level off, and your primary function is to just strategically place down your whatever character you're playing as. If you're playing as the Space Marines, then you can put down five of the Terminators at a time, although you won't always have five to start off with. You kind of have to find and expand your crew as you carry on. They have different abilities, different perks and weaknesses. There's assault, there's your sergeant, and then there's your like heavy bodied assault, if you will. You don't really get to switch them around though. Whatever you have, you've got, and that's it. Once they're out on the battlefield, good luck. hope you know how to use who you got, because you're not switching them out. You can, oddly enough, you can play the game either in first person or isometric view once you're on the battlefield.
First person view.
You can totally play in first person. which is really odd for a turn-based strategy like this. Because it is a strategy, all of your characters have action points, and everything that you do costs an action point. So even when you're in first-person mode, it's like, okay, well, if I move one square ahead, that costs one action point. If I move three squares, that costs three. If I turn around, even though I don't move from this square, that turning around is still going to cost one action point. So you have to be really mindful of how you're moving your characters around. And I found that even though first person was an option, it was useful for like looking for switches or doors and things like that as an out. But for actual movement, it was kind of useless. And I preferred to play from the isometric view just so I had a better idea of what was going on the battlefield.
Yeah. This sounds like a novel addition, though.
Yeah, I thought it was neat because sometimes in an isometric view, like you may have a turret and you might not be able to see where the switch for that turret is so that you can flip it to be on your side instead of the enemy's. And if you can, dynamically swap down to first person view to one of your Terminators, you can look in that area that he's in and say, oh yeah, I've got the option. There's the switch, or it's over there. I know how to get there now. So it made some things a lot easier, but just for general battles and stuff. Yeah, it looked cool. The cutscenes were awesome whenever you would kill a gene stealer, but for, overall play, it wasn't the most practical feature. It was a lot of fun, even though it was kind of frustrating to play, because the learning curve for this game is really damn high. You would think it's just, oh, okay, throw them on the battlefield, don't get dead, get to the exit.
Don't get dead.
It's not that easy, because like I said, you have to do the math on everything you're going to do. Oh, if I move, but I have to turn so that I can get to the door, and then I don't have enough action points to actually open the door, so now I have to use a convert some of my cards so that I can open a door. If you were playing as the gene stealers, you would say, okay, well, I don't have enough blips, which is how you spawn enemies, so I have to convert some of my cards rather than making my gene stealers, more powerful. Oh, instead I have to spawn another blip so that I can have between one to three more gene stealers. That said, it was a fuck ton of fun. Even when I was getting frustrated. And it does have online. You can create your own custom boards and missions and edit the maps as you see fit.
Oh, that's awesome.
And play online against other people. You can, whether you want to be Blood Angels or Gene Stealers, you just tear in there and go for it and have fun.
Cool. So overall, $40 on it. What do you think?
I did give it a try. I didn't have the most flawless experience. I did have some issues with the game crashing and losing my place. So then I would have to go back and like start. There were like two times where it crashed and I had to start all over at the tutorial again.
Oh, man.
And I was like, yeah, this game hates me. And then after those two times, I was able to play fine. So I don't know what I did, who I pissed off, but it wasn't exactly flawless. And there are some really long load times, which kind of makes sense given, how big some of the levels are. But I do give it a try. I did have fun. I'd like to just see the crashes be smoothed out of it.
Cool.
Next.
Speedrun. Next game to talk about is called My Memory of Us, developed by Juggler Games, published by IMGN.pro, released October 9th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $17.99. My Memory of Us is a reminiscence of a friendship between a boy and a girl, a friendship made through tough times, times of terror, pain, and exclusion in a world where people were forced to live in two artificially detached worlds. Cole, what is My Memory of Us?
So My Memory of Us is an adventure 2D kind of puzzler where you are literally playing through the memory of a little boy and a little girl as they experienced the Nazi invasion of Poland during World War II.
Ooh.
It's very, very heavy subject matter, but it's played out in a metaphorical sense. There's actually no imagery for the Nazis at all. They're not glorified in any kind of way. They're not symbolized in any kind of way. Even Nazi soldiers are replaced with robots, just mindless robots. The game does have this very pen and ink kind of sketchy art style. It's incredibly pretty. It's all monochrome and grayscale, except for the Jewish people are symbolized in the game as red people. So basically they look like everybody else, but they wear red clothes. And so that's how you know that they're supposed to symbolize the Jewish people. And there are, you know, obviously posters about with red people drawn on them and marked through, and they say evil. Or at the beginning of the game, there are certain places that while playing as a little girl in red, you can't access because they're just red people aren't allowed there. The game is actually narrated by Sir Patrick Stewart.
I thought it sounded like him, but I couldn't tell if it was him or a sound alike.
So he tells the story from the little boy's perspective now that he's an older man, and he's telling the story to another little girl about how he was friends with the little girl in red and how they became a makeshift family together with her grandfather, and that, you know, their adventures going through Poland. When you play both characters simultaneously. You can simply have them hold hands to move them at the same time, or you can have them separate from each other and then use your right bumper to switch back and forth between them. There are certain aspects of the game where you have to play as one character over another because they have different skill sets. The little girl in red is a little older, and so she can run, whereas the little boy can't run as fast on his own. But when they're holding hands, he can keep up with her. She has a slingshot. She can shoot targets that are further away with her slingshot. He's got a history as, you know, a street kid and a thief, so he can sneak up and he can crouch and hide in unconventional places. He can crawl through pipes. So you have to use their respective skill sets to solve puzzles and get them through this invasion without losing one another. It's an incredibly heartstring tugging story. Like the whole time you're playing, you're waiting for the shoe to drop. As soon as you catch on to what the metaphor is for, you're just like, shit.
So it's heavy.
It is very heavy. The characters are so charming and you can't help but grow attached to them because they're just little kids.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, they're just kids doing kid things, and they don't even realize to an extent what they're fully going through, but you know what everything means. So it's definitely very heavy subject matter. But I thought that the developers did a fantastic job of handling it in a sensitive way, even though it's very heavily stylized, even though it's really a huge juxtaposition with, oh, hey, these are Nazis, but they're robots. It's okay. You know, that there's a lot of area there where that could not come off as sensitive as they intended for it to, but they carry it out well. And one of my favorite things is that there's 18 levels, and in those levels are additional memories. These memories tell the stories of some of the NPCs that you come across, and they are actually real-life stories from people who lived in Poland during the invasion.
Oh, wow.
So one, for example, tells the story of a nurse and a doctor who ran an orphanage for children. In one of the Jewish ghettos. And another is a soldier. And there's just all these fantastic stories that I don't want to give away. But it's very heavy, but it's very heartwarming to see how they overcame it all and were heroes in their own right.
Nice. So overall, $18 on it. What do you think?
I understand a lot of people have kind of complained that the price is a little high. To me, I think it's fine, and I definitely say buy it. It is a heavy subject, but it's really well done. I didn't have any problems with the gameplay. The puzzles were intuitive. I did have a little bit of stuttering on loading screens. That's something that can probably be patched out easily. But it's just, it's an experience, and it's a lengthy game. Like I said, there's 18 chapters. Yeah. So there's plenty of content there to justify the price. And I definitely do say buy it.
Cool. Sounds good.
Speedrunning.
Speedrun. Next game to talk about is called The Missing, J.J. Macfield and the Island of Memories, developed by White Owls Incorporated, published by Arc System Works, released October 11th on Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and Steam for $29.99. J.J. scours Memoria Island to find her best friend who has gone missing during a camping trip. In order to save her best friend, she puts her own body and life on the line, reviving infinitely as she presses forward. Why did she go missing? What is going on in this world? Dark Mika covered this one, wrote in a review, and here's what she's got to say. The Missing, J.J. Macfield and the Island of Memories, is a puzzle platformer that is most definitely not for kids. You play as J.J., a young woman on a camping trip with Emily, seemingly her girlfriend. The pair spend the night staring at the stars, only for J.J. to wake up and find Emily missing. J.J. is now off to find Emily because every horror game does that. Oh yeah, did I mention this game has horror themes to it? Everything is voice acted, and you can call out with JJ. Whenever the periods at the end of JJ always throw me off because I think it's the end of a sentence, but it's not. Everything is voice acted, and you can call out with JJ whenever you want. She has a few lines of dialogue that you can make her repeat. The dialogue changes depending on where JJ is to a small degree and in what state JJ is in. Now, let me tie the statement in with the fact that this isn't for kids. This game revolves around you purposely hurting yourself, being dismembered, electrocuted, set on fire, and turned to a husk, all in order to try and find Emily as JJ just refuses to fucking die. It's not as simple, oh, I'm on fire now. No, you hear her screams and her pain of agony, and you see her writhe on the ground. It's really morbid and rather grotesque, and I love it. Shocking that Dark Mika would enjoy that.
I'm a little sad I skipped on this one now. Shit.
Oh, you didn't skip on it. She just demanded this one.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Yeah, this was one of her requests. So platforming is easy in this. The game mostly focuses on making you figure out the puzzles by mutilating yourself. Most of them aren't too difficult. However, you have collectibles and you want to obtain them in this game. Doing so unlocks cheats, which are actually just different outfits for JJ. Collecting them also unlocks old text messages from people she knows, which give you backstory and unlocks art in the art gallery. I really like this. I've always liked having art galleries and games that you unlock art in, and it's just fun. The collectibles are 271 donuts.
Wow.
They're nice and big, so they're hard to miss, and over 100 of them come from signs you can interact with, which each give you 10 donuts. So it's still a lot of collecting, but most of them are fairly easy to see and find, and I got 244 without even trying on my first run, and at the end of my second run, I was missing two. The backstory is important to tell you what's going on in the actual story and why it's going on, so you really need to collect them. All this backstory is told via text messages between JJ and four or five other people. It was interesting and I liked it, while in the game, the whole game menu is accessed from her smartphone. If you ignore the backstory, it's still a horror theme, but it loses almost all of its depth, which is really important for it. Because of the subject matter. However, if you ignore the backstory, the end of the game will give you a massive twist. Ooh.
Hmm.
I really like the story, but I'm a bit biased. The story is about a member of the LGBT community and a family that's a single mother who's, well, she's not the greatest, very overbearing and overprotective. I was already enjoying it simply because it was a girl trying to find her girlfriend. Then with the addition of all the backstory, this hit a string with me. This was my family. This was generally my history. I mean, I'm not out to everyone in my own family, even because some of them are cunts, so this hit home for me.
Ouch.
I love that she calls her own family cunts, so Also, you want to continue the game after you beat it and do it over again because you get some nice extra stuff in the cheat menu and there's new conversation bits which you can find which are really fun and nice and cute. For $30 on the Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and PC, I say get it. It's not as long as I'd prefer for that kind of money, but the story, it made me cry at the end. Granted, again, it hit home really hard for me, so... but still, it's amazing, it's cute, it's funny, it's horror-themed, but not really all that scary. Story might be a bit short, but it's fucking fantastic. This is not a feel-good story, it has a, quote, good ending, but it's for misery. Wow. I've had my eye on this one, so I might have to jump on that.
Yeah, I'm surprised I have not played this one.
Well, now you know what game you're getting next.
Yeah, I have to rectify this.
Oh, man. All right. From one horror game to another, the next game to talk about is called Home Sweet Home, developed by Yggdrasil Group, published by Mastiff, released October 16th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $29.99, and features support for PSVR and Steam VR. Home Sweet Home throws players into a dark and twisted labyrinth where miasma of fear fills the air, dread bleeds through cracks in the ceiling and seeps down through broken floorboards, and anxiety grows stronger with every step. I'm guessing this is the one that made you fear pee, huh?
That was the most accurate summary you have ever read on this show. Jesus fucking Christ. Like, I'm creeped out just thinking about it because I heard you say that.
Oh, God. Well, give us the details. What goes on in Home Sweet Home?
This is literally one of the most unsettling horror games I've played.
I'm sure David Bruno will be very happy to hear that.
It's true. I wouldn't say I was scared in the traditional sense of, you know, jump scares, but it was just so fucking unnerving to play this game.
Oh God.
Yeah, Asian horror is its own special beast anyway. When you think of Asian horror, you think of, you know, The Coma and Cut and even like movies like The Grudge and stuff where it's just really fucked up stuff. Mm-hmm. And so Home Sweet Home is no exception from that. It takes place in Thailand. It uses Thai mythology and it is just literal nightmare fodder.
Oh, God.
You play as a character who wakes up in this mysterious building, and I assume it's a home. It kind of looks like a home sometimes, but then there's lockers and stuff, and I'm just never really sure where I'm at.
Well, this Home Sweet Home, so I'm guessing it is a home.
Like, it's supposed to be a home, but there are times where it's like, is it a school? Because there's like school books and like a library and stuff, not like a house library. So, but it's just horribly unsettling. You're too worried about trying to get away from the fucking monster chasing you. she doesn't even chase you. She kind of just lurks around. But you know how you were like, oh, seeping from the ceilings and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
She appears out of blood spots that show up on the walls. And then she just lurks around. And you know how when you take a box cutter and you just kind of move the blade up and down, that clicking sound?
Uh-huh.
That's how you know she's coming. Because she's got a box cutter. And that sound. Sweet thought. You hear that, and you'll hear her footsteps, and just, no, you're done. And
you piss yourself. You
want to get the fuck out. But the problem is that you're never really sure where she come out of the fucking wall at. And you're just like, my only option is to sit and hide in this locker for the next 37 years, because nothing else is safe in this game. And you can be, you ever play Alien Isolation? And you know how, like, the aliens will spot you and you have to run out of their line of sight and hide in, like, a locker or whatever? It's the same kind of concept, except for instead of, you know, the alien chasing you, it's this really fucked up looking woman who is going to stab you with a box cutter if she catches you.
Oh, God.
But I'm going to go a little spoiler. I don't think it's particularly spoiler. It happens early in the game. And this is why I keep talking about how unsettling it was. This is one of the creepiest moments I've ever had in a game, and I literally damn near pissed myself over it.
Oh, God.
Because you have to find different objects around, solve various puzzles in the game to get your backstory, to figure out what's really going on. And, you know, because you obviously dropped into this place without a whole lot, you know, of details, which is how horror games love to do you. So there's one instance where you have to find a crowbar. You have to find a crowbar, and you'll find it in this bathroom. And there's no way to get back to the locker from where you are. So you go into the bathroom, close the door. You go into the shower in the corner where the crowbar is. You pick it up. You turn around, and the door swings open. And you hear that box cutter and the ghost monster thing walks into the bathroom and you can see her through this sheer shower curtain. She's in the bathroom there with you where you're trapped. And she just bends over and starts vomiting blood onto the floor.
Oh my Lord.
And then she turns toward the shower and is literally like 3 inches from where you're sitting in the corner going, please don't kill me, please don't kill me, please don't kill me. With that fucking box cutter going.
Oh my Lord, that sounds amazing.
And I'm just sitting there going, I need my inhaler. I was so freaked out. And just, I'm like, I don't know if she's going to yell at me. I don't know how she doesn't fucking see me because the shower curtain's clear. And I'm scared to goddamn death. My daughter was watching me play and she's sitting there with her hands on her head, rocking back and forth, going, Mom's going to see you. Mom's going to see you. I'm holding my chest like this motherfucker is going to cut me. And then she just turns around and walks away.
Oh, shit.
And it was the most terrifying 13 seconds of my life.
And you peed.
I peed a little.
Sweet. So, legit fear pee happening for $30. What do you think?
Oh, please buy this game. And I want to see everybody streaming this for Halloween because it is so good. And I had so much fun with it, but it is just so unnerving.
You want to hear some good news about it?
Yeah.
It's going to be part of SMLoween.
Yes. Somebody is getting fear pee.
Someone is going to fear pee. Yeah. If you haven't entered SMLoween yet, you still have a week to do it. All you got to do is email us, thesmlpodcast@gmail.com, and tell us the scariest thing that ever happened in your life.
Before we announce the winner, you have to do the box cutter. Like, that sounds never going to be the same for me again. Ever. Oh, and just to bending over and vomiting right there while you're watching, and the blood just, Jesus Christ. Carry on. Next review.
No, you want to hear the best part? Home Sweet Home will be the 20th game in our prize package.
Damn.
20 games to the winner. And not that, not just that. If you enter the contest at all, you're getting a prize.
Wow.
Everybody will get something.
Wow.
And a 99% Xbox code, so make sure you have an Xbox. There's some Steam stuff in there too, and I have like one or two PS4 codes laying around, but yeah, if you enter the contest, you are going to leave with a prize, no matter what.
Very nice.
So get your entries in. The winner will be chosen on next week's episode. Next Thursday, we will be picking the winner. So
SMLoween is the best.
It is the best. And we have to thank everybody who donates codes to this for making it awesome. Indeed. Because those people are awesome.
Also, indeed.
I went through a whole bunch of the games that we got on our last episode with Purnell, but some additions that we've gotten since then. We got 4 games from Digirati, including Omega Strike, Fall of Light, Nefarious, and 1979 Revolution Black Friday.
Nice.
We got Home Sweet Home, and we got Graveyard Keeper.
Oh, I love Graveyard Keeper.
Yeah, so get your goddamn entries in. And final game tonight is also part of SMLoween. We are going to be revisiting Outbreak: The Nightmare Chronicles, developed and published by Dead Drop Studios, available on Xbox One and Steam for only $4.99. New update just released on Xbox One, which includes chapters 2 through 4 of the campaign, which is what we are taking a look at. Cole, what is new to The Nightmare Chronicles?
So, like you said, it adds chapters 2 through 4, which is 3 chapters, 2, 3, and 4. And it also adds 3 new zones for battle mode. Battle mode, if you haven't played the first chapter, basically it just gives you run of the map to play through it again and just take on randomly spawning amounts of enemies with random amounts of ammo and stuff scattered around. So it's kind of just a survival mode of the same story area. But mm-hmm. It's nice to have the option of playing for the purpose of playing the story or just playing through for the sake of playing through. The game itself, it sticks with what it is, and that's fine. It's inspired by classic Resident Evil games, plays that same way. You still have the old school inventory's so fucking small. I give anything that the developer would do something about that inventory. I'm always running. I'm trying to carry too much shit. I'm a hoarder. it's a lot of the same gameplay that you've seen before. There's puzzles to solve. You need to find clues to get through. Gotta work that item box. I don't want to work the item box. I want to take everything with me. I'm a hoarder. But
now is your perfect opportunity to tell the developer what you want with the game, since he's hanging out in chat.
But I am grateful that you can run with Lydia. You hold X and that bitch can move now. I will say I was shocked by the ending, and I'm not going to give it away, but I was 28 item slots per character. Perfect.
Need a mule next to you with a spare item box. No time with the pro tips.
I'm not mad at that idea.
I look forward to the mule update.
Look, there are some little monsters. I don't even know their names. It's the little mutated monsters that are kind of small. And they would be perfect. Like, strap a backpack. What's them leashes you put kids on?
Oh, God.
Give those monsters one of them little kid backpack leashes. And he can carry, like, 6 more things. Brilliant. They should hug Lydia, and then they can store the... Yes. Perfect. No, don't hug Lydia. They hurt. Those are my most hated enemies, other than the zombies that crawl on the ground because they're so hard to shoot down at. You're like, why don't you just fucking die? Why are you all the way down there? Fuck you, grenade launchers solve everything.
They do.
Back to Lydia's story, though, without giving anything away, I was really shocked at how the story ended. Like, I guess there wasn't really any other way it could have ended, but I was still... I had feels, Joe.
Oh, boy.
I've been following Lydia for a long time.
You have.
And so I was just like, what I asked myself is what...
What was that?
He said, what I asked myself is what would happen to me in that situation.
So you gotta read that stuff out. You can't just be like,
I can mumble if I want to. Have you heard my accent? That's what people expect on this show.
Yeah, but rednecks, we still have to understand you.
Rednecks naturally sound like we got a mouthful of shit. So it's okay. You're just going to have to start putting subtitles on the podcast.
Yeah, I am not going through all that effort. Fuck that.
We can't even get you to edit. We'll be surprised if you cut out where you didn't have your mic on at the beginning of the show.
Good goddamn luck.
But all things considered, it's nice to finally wrap the story up, but I was pretty sad about how everything turns out. I got feels, I got emotions, but it's nice to have something in the way of a conclusion. There's not a whole lot changed. If you've liked the game before, you're probably going to be pretty happy with what you get this time around. I do want to say, I know that Dead Drop Studios, we talked before about this, that he did want to originally add extra achievements. That didn't happen. So if you completed chapter one, you've completed the game. That said, if you bothered to play chapter one, you should go ahead and finish the game because you're not going to be disappointed.
Awesome. So overall, $5 on it. What do you think?
It's $5. Buy it. Absolutely. And I've come a long way from my first Outbreak game. And I've watched the series grow, and it's been quite a roller coaster, but I've been very happy to see the changes that Dead Drop Studios has made. I'm happy to see where the game ended up at. And I'm happy that I got to play it and that I got to see it grow into what it is.
Nice.
Yep.
So that's it.
That is it.
I think we got under an hour.
I think if you cut out, you know, where you didn't have your mic on, I think we made it.
I'm obviously going to cut that part out. Yeah, Dead Drop makes a good point. It's 4K on Xbox 4K One X. On Xbox.
Yes.
So it's got that enhancements going on.
I don't have a One X. I'm in the poor man's club, so.
And fingers crossed that he could figure out something with achievements and maybe find a way to add some. That would be nice. Because achievements are always good.
Achievements are always good. And plus, it makes it easier when I can be like, well, you should at least buy it for the achievements. And then I get other people roped in.
Want to know what else is good?
Biddies.
Biddies. No Time for Biddies. Games dropping 250 biddies.
Yay.
So that is a lot of biddies today. And again, I'm going to assume that was entirely based on the horse testicles.
Horse testicles was a good part of the show, though.
That was. So final words to wrap this up, I guess, is going to be horse testicles.
Horse nuts.
Are they like truck nuts?
No, them are too saggy. Horse nuts aren't even dynamic horse nuts aren't that saggy.
Yeah. Horse nuts.